This afternoon, if you have your Bible, and will turn with me to Matthew. We want to continue where we left off this morning. Chapter 22, and we're coming to the last encounter that the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Herodians, where they're attempting to get Jesus to say something that would get the people to turn against them and give them an excuse to come against the Lord and get rid of him. He's a threat to them because he is the truth, and they weren't ready, nor did they want to hear the truth, nor were they ready to receive him. This afternoon I want us to look at verse 41 through the end of the chapter, where he is confronted by a lawyer that comes forth from the Pharisees. I'd also like to read from Mark's Gospel the same account, because Mark does give us a little bit more insight into what is going on here in the interaction between Jesus and this lawyer. So first I'll read Matthew, and then we'll turn and read from Mark's account in Mark chapter 12. Matthew chapter 21, or 22 rather, verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And then if you would turn with me to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 12. And in Mark chapter 12, we have the same account given. And find the right verse here. And it's Mark chapter 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like unto this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all thy heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and the sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he had answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. Let's just fall in prayer. Father, as we come before you, Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon. And Lord, help us to understand the importance of what you shared with this lawyer and scribe as he came to try and initially trick you up, but you ended up bringing him to the point of having to acknowledge truth. Lord, now we pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting that they sent a lawyer. Matthew refers to him as a lawyer. Mark refers to him as a scribe. They came because they knew the law. And so Matthew says that the Pharisees got together and they just continued to try and want to trick Jesus into saying something that was wrong, so that the people would turn against him. Mark also tells us that the lawyer came, and when he came, he was impressed with the answers that Jesus had given, the ones we looked at and studied this morning, the first being to the Herodians and the Pharisees, when he talked about where do you pay your tax? Do you have to pay Caesar or don't you? And that whole discussion. And then the discussion about the authority of Scripture and the power of God that was dealt with the Sadducees when they came and tried to take Scripture out of context to trick Jesus. If you, just going back to that, it's interesting, Satan always takes Scripture out of context. He'll use Scripture, but he takes it out of context or states it wrongly. If you look at, even when he first deceived Eve, he spoke a partial truth, but there is no such thing as a partial truth, because if you have a partial truth, you have a lie, because it's not truth at all. You remember when he came to Eve, he said, the Lord has said, you shall not look nor touch. He added to the Scripture on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he added to it because the Lord had not said that they couldn't look or touch. He just said they were not to eat of it. And Satan added to that and made it more than what God said. And that's exactly what the Sadducees did this morning. And it's what we're going to be looking at this last one. What's so significant about this is he comes and asks, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus quotes Scripture, and he quotes from Deuteronomy, and the Scripture that he quotes from Deuteronomy is a Scripture that all Israelites should have known. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, on Father's Day we looked at this verse a little bit, but Deuteronomy chapter 6, Israelites, if they went to synagogue at all, and if they went to the temple at all, they should know this Scripture. Everyone should have memorized this Scripture. And Jesus quotes it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And then he goes on and talks about teaching them to your children. But this is the Scripture that all Israelites should have known. And yet this man comes and he asks Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Well, you cannot have and follow any commandments if you don't follow the first statement that Jesus made, to love the Lord your God with your whole being. And Mark actually adds strength, Matthew just has the first three, and then Mark adds to it strength. But I just want us to take a quick look at what Jesus' answer was in Mark's gospel. He says, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. If you don't believe that there's only one God, then you believe the lies of Satan. Because isn't that the lie that was at the Garden of Eden? That Adam and Eve could become like God? Isn't that what Satan believed? That I shall ascend to the throne of the Most High? I shall be like God? You can't have two Most Highs. There's only one God. There's only one Most High. There's only one Lord. And we see that Jesus says you need to begin, because none of the rest of it has any meaning or can have any follow-through on it if you don't believe in God as being the only God. So he starts out and he says with this command, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. With all thy heart. That, in the Jewish concept, remember, is mind, emotions, and will. Your mind, your emotions, and your will are bound up in what the Jewish person would call the heart. And so you're supposed to love him with your mind, your emotions, and your will. And you're supposed to yield those to the Lord, and you're supposed to worship them with those parts of your being. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus goes on and he says, and with all thy soul. Now, what is the soul? You know, if you stop and look at the fact, our external bodies are what houses our soul. But the real you is your soul and your spirit. Your body is what we see. It's what we can touch. We can shake hands. We can hug each other. We can see our physical bodies, but we can't see our souls. But our soul is who we really are. And the scriptures tell us that when we die, death is a separation of the body from the soul and the spirit. The body dies, but the soul and the spirit do not die. The unbeliever, they go into a time where they're awaiting their judgment. And we see that Jesus gave the account of the rich man that had treated the beggar Lazarus horribly. And when he died, he didn't believe in God, but after he died, he believed in God. And he cried out to Father Abraham, as there was a great gulf between those that were believers and those that were unbelievers, yet it was evident they could see across this gulf, and he cried that Father Abraham, that he would somehow send someone back and to tell his brothers that there really was a Hades, a place that men wait the day of judgment, and that they shall be judged, and then there comes the eternal lake of fire, and they shall stand experiencing God's judgment for the rest of eternity. So that's the unbeliever. The believer, today we go, it says, Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so when we die, our soul is separated from our body, but our soul is ushered into Christ's presence. And when the Lord returns at the time of the rapture, those who have gone on to be with him, their bodies shall be raised from the grave, and they shall receive their glorified bodies, and there will be the reuniting of a glorified body with their soul and spirit. And those of us who are alive on earth shall receive our glorified body and be caught up to be with them at that time. So we see that the soul, once God gives the soul life, we live in that sense forever, either in damnation or in heaven with the Lord. Now, he tells us that we're to give our soul 100% for God. That is, who you really are was created by God, and you're to give your life back to him and serve him with all your being. And so Jesus says that that's the attitude that we are had, and it's to result in the actions that we do. Our soul really controls our body, and in the sense that when we sin, Jesus said, where does the sin begin? The sin begins in the heart, begins in our thoughts. It doesn't begin with the outward action. The outward action is a result of an inward thinking. And so we need to have a proper attitude in our souls towards the Lord. And it's we're to love him with all our soul and with all our mind. The brain is an organ. The mind is what controls the brain. The brain is really, in many ways, a very, very sophisticated computer. It's better than any computer that men have made. But it's not how you really think. Your mind is what causes you to think. Your mind experiences the concepts of love and hate, of the emotions. That is brought by the mind. Your brain puts that things into motion and controls your body and causes things to function. So he says, your mind is to be given over to the Lord 100%. You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then he also says, with all your strength. And Matthew didn't say that or record that, but Mark did. What is the strength? The strength is our physical bodies, and everything that we do when we're on this earth, it could be summed up in our strength. And so every action, what Jesus is saying, your whole being is to love God and to make him number one in your life. and he's to be the ultimate focus of your worship and praise. This is the first and the great commandment. Why is it important? Like I mentioned at the beginning of the message, if you don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you're not really his. If you can't say, well, I'm going to love him part way. No. We're called to love him completely. And if we do love him completely, the second part of the commandments, which deal with how we react to one another, is going to be a whole lot easier to do. And what he says is, and the second is like unto the first, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now love thy neighbor as thyself. Dave Hunt used to really bring this out well when he'd say, you know, people will come up and say, well, people don't really love themselves. What about the person that is going to commit suicide or did commit suicide? He said that is the most self-centered act that one can commit, because you're not thinking about anybody else when you do it, and you're doing it because you're having a tremendous pity party on yourself, and you're saying, this isn't right in my life, this isn't right in my life, I deserve this, I deserve this, I deserve this, and I'm going to make people pay because I'm going to take my life. And really, it's the ultimate action of self-centeredness and self-love. We're not to love ourselves and to those depths, but rather, Jesus says, no man will go out and not eat or drink, or, you know, when you become thirsty, you drink, you take care of your body, you take care of yourself. He's saying, but if you do that for your own self, how much more should you do it for others? And what he's saying, what you would do for yourself in the way that you would love your own self, you need to transfer that in loving others with that type of affection and commitment. And if we did that, we would begin to think about how are my actions impacting that person, and how are they causing that person to be hurt, or that person to suffer, or that person not to understand who Jesus is because I'm acting wrongly towards them. And as Christians, above all, we should be a people that the world looks at us and says marvels at our love, first of all for the Lord, and then for one another, and our commitment to the Lord and the commitment to one another. So these are the two things, and if you look at the commandments, the Ten Commandments, that is what they're bound up in. The first five commandments deal with our love towards God. The second five commandments deal with our love towards men and how we're to act. And go back and read the Ten Commandments, and you'll see that there's that break. And you come with the first so that we understand God's love, and his love becomes part of our life so that we can do the second and love people as we ought. Now, this lawyer who came to trick Jesus really stands in amazement. And the answer he gives to Jesus is interesting. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth. Okay? For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And so this guy knew that, but when he's saying that, he's also got to be acknowledging in his heart the words that Jesus said on more than one occasion, where he said, I am God come in the flesh. I am the Messiah. I am that I am. And though that's the term that only was referred to and used of God, and yet Jesus used it of himself, this lawyer knew that Jesus had done that. Yet he says there's only one God, and you've spoken well. So he's acknowledging that what Jesus said, and the very thing that has caused the Pharisees and the Sadducees so much consternation, is the fact that Jesus has proclaimed himself to be the Messiah and has proclaimed himself to be God. But the lawyer says, yes, you've spoken well, for there is but one God. and none other but He, and to love Him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now that is a tremendous statement to come from a man. That man's heart is being under the process of the circumcision of God. What did Jesus, and what was the Lord's contention with Israel throughout the Old Testament? It was the fact that they were constantly not worshiping the Lord with their hearts. They didn't come to worship Him in spirit and truth. They really just came to go through the outward motions a lot of the time. As a matter of fact, most of the time. And what He is saying is what Israel was suffering from. The thing that Jesus had said was worth more than all the burnt offerings that could ever be given. And it meant more than having all the outward signs of circumcision or the other things that went with obeying the law. Because if you didn't have the love of God in your heart and the love for your fellow man in your heart, you didn't really know God, even though you were going through the motions on the outside. And I want you to see Jesus' response to this man. Jesus says, and when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, and the word discreetly here means with intelligence and understanding, he understood what Jesus had said, and is responding to it with great intelligence in the way that he spoke back to Jesus on how he had grasped what Jesus had said. And because he spoke discreetly, Jesus said, thou art not far from the kingdom of heaven. In other words, your conversion is this close. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God, rather. From the kingdom of God. And so his belief was just about there. And the Lord, it's also said, and no man after that durst ask him any question. Because you can't deny the truth when the truth is spoken. And they came on two occasions, they came stretching and trying to contort the truth. The last man came with an honest question, hoping Jesus wouldn't answer it properly, but he did. And he answered it with great authority, and he explained the importance of it, of this, that everything was wrapped up in our love for God first, and then our love for one another. As Christians, we need to understand what Jesus was saying here. And to truly, in closing, every one of us should seek to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind or understanding, and with all of our strength. And if we do that, then we will be walking in His power according to His word and be able to accomplish His purpose. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand this last encounter where they tried to trick Jesus. But Lord, as You spoke the truth to them, they could have no further questions. Father, it says that they didn't try to interact with You any longer because the choices were either to reject the truth or accept the truth. Father, it's the same choice we have today. We either reject the truth, which is You, or we accept the truth, which is You. Lord, help us to walk in Your power according to Your word and Your truth. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn to Search Me, O God. And that is hymn number 473. Search our hearts during the week that we may truly love thee with all our being. Go with us and help us to show forth thy love to those that don't know thee. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Did you press stop?
Oh, no.
That's where you press stop. And then this one, it's the little button you just pressed.